There's a quiet moment most of us have had, even if we don't remember it. You stare at a face and notice the balance. You look at a flower and notice its order. You watch ripples spread across a pond and feel, for a breath, that reality is intelligible. Symmetry does that to us. It soothes, it persuades. It whispers that the world is not random noise, but a readable language, and that what is readable can perhaps be held. And yet the longer you look, the more the spell breaks. Beautifully. The face is not perfectly mirrored. The petal arrangement is slightly off. The ripples meet a leaf and deform. The pond is never truly still. The universe offers symmetry like a promise, then keeps its deeper truth in the deviations. This is the strange human compulsion. We crave symmetry as if it is the stamp of reality's legitimacy, but we live, quite literally, inside asymmetry. Not symmetry or asymmetry, but their tension. Not a perfect mirror, but a living pattern that can bend without breaking. Symmetry is one of the first forms of meaning the mind learns to recognize. It is pattern without explanation, a shortcut that says, this belongs together. This is one thing, not many. A face, a butterfly, a leaf, a snowflake, symmetry is how the world announces structure. There is an evolutionary simplicity to this. Symmetry often correlates with health in living organisms. It can signal a kind of developmental stability. Minds tuned by survival learn to associate symmetry with vitality, reliability, safety. The symmetrical creature looks right. The symmetrical landscape looks ordered. The symmetrical sound pattern becomes music. But the pull goes deeper than survival. Symmetry is also metaphysical comfort. It suggests fairness, reciprocity, balance, justice. Two sides that correspond. Two halves that match. Even our moral intuitions borrow from this geometry. Balance, equal weight, even-handedness, symmetry of obligation. We don't only see symmetry, we trust it. This is why symmetry seduces science. The deeper the symmetry, the more we feel we have touched bedrock. Symmetry becomes a lantern. If the world is governed by laws, those laws should not depend on arbitrary perspectives. They should look the same if you rotate the system, shift it in space, move it in time. Symmetry is the refusal of special pleading. It is reality saying, no matter where you stand, the rule holds. And so the human mind, always trying to compress chaos into coherence, falls in love. Nature seems to advertise symmetry everywhere, as if it enjoys the aesthetics of stability. Bodies mirror themselves around a spine. Flowers radiate around a center. Crystals repeat in lattices that feel like matter's handwriting. Even the wild shapes, coastlines, ferns, branching trees, lightning carry echoes of themselves across scales, repeating motifs without becoming identical copies. The world keeps hinting, there is order here. Even the sky participates. The phases of the moon are a slow geometric ritual. Planetary paths trace near regularities that feel like choreography. The very idea of a circle carries spiritual weight because it feels like perfect return, perfect containment, perfect completion. It is not surprising that ancient cultures read divinity into symmetry. When a pattern is stable, we suspect intention. When something repeats with precision, we assume a designer, either a god or a rule so deep it may as well be sacred. But a purely symmetric world would be sterile. Perfect equilibrium is a world with no preference, no gradient, no arrow. Nothing would happen because nothing would lean. Symmetry is stillness. Asymmetry is direction. Life requires gradients. Warm to cold, high to low, concentrated to diffuse, hunger to nourishment, desire to fulfillment. Even walking is an asymmetry repeated, imbalance created, imbalance resolved. Motion is organized falling. Look at a river. Its beauty is not the straight line. Straight lines are rare in the wild, but the meander. The river finds a path not by obeying our geometric ideals, but by negotiating friction, slope, sediment, resistance. Its curve is an argument with the terrain. It is asymmetry made visible. Look at a tree. It is not a perfect fractal drawn by a compass. It leans toward light. It grows thicker where wind stresses it. It knots where history occurred. A tree is symmetry aspiring and asymmetry remembering. Look at a human face. Perfect symmetry often reads as uncanny, almost artificial. What moves us is the slight unevenness, the one eyebrow that rises differently, the subtle drift of a smile, the scar that breaks the expected line. We recognize a person not in their averaged ideal, but in the signature of their deviations. Asymmetry is individuality. This is an uncomfortable truth for our perfectionism. Symmetry is the template. But asymmetry is the story. In physics, symmetry isn't just aesthetic, it is structural. Symmetry is a statement about what stays the same when you change how you look. Rotate a system and the rules don't change. Shift it in time and the rules don't change. Shift it in space and the rules don't change. This idea has teeth. When a symmetry holds, something is conserved. Time invariance pairs with energy conservation. Spatial uniformity pairs with momentum conservation. Rotational invariance pairs with angular momentum conservation. Symmetry here is not decoration. It is invariance in the bones of reality. And yet the most interesting moments often arrive when symmetry breaks. Sometimes symmetry breaks explicitly. The rules treat directions differently. Sometimes it breaks spontaneously. The rules allow many equivalent states, but the world commits to one, the way a perfectly balanced pencil must fall in some direction, even though no direction is preferred by the idealized description. The choice is not written as a preference at the start. It emerges as a fact. Symmetry breaking is one way the universe becomes specific. It is how uniformity can produce texture, how sameness can yield structure, how an abstract possibility space collapses into a particular world. It is also, in a way, how a life becomes a life. You begin with many futures. You choose. Your choices break symmetry. The path you do not walk becomes a shadow that defines the path you do. One of the most intimate forms of asymmetry is chirality. Left and right, mirror images that are not interchangeable. The world could have remained indifferent to handedness. Yet biology on Earth leans. It commits. It builds complexity on a chosen orientation, as if even life must pick a side in order to become coherent. And then there is the arrow of time, perhaps the most existential asymmetry of all. Many fundamental descriptions look almost reversible. Run them backward and they still work. And yet lived reality is not like that. We remember the past, not the future. We spill milk and do not watch it leap back into the glass. We age in one direction. The universe, at the scale of experience, keeps time like a scar. We often treat symmetry as the signature of eternity, and asymmetry as the signature of life. Our obsession with symmetry leaks into mathematics because mathematics is where symmetry becomes pure. A circle is not almost a circle, it is a circle. An equilateral triangle is perfect by definition. In the mathematical realm, symmetry is not achieved, it is declared. This is why constants like pi fascinate us. Pi is not just a number, it is the persistence of circularity itself. Wherever the circle appears, pi follows. It feels like a refrain the universe cannot stop singing. And then there is phi, the golden ratio, which people often mythologize as if nature were secretly building everything according to an ancient aesthetic code. The truth is less mystical and more interesting. Certain growth processes and constraints can yield spirals and proportions that resemble phi-like patterns. But nature is not a strict architect stamping phi everywhere. Nature is a negotiator. It repeats what is efficient and it adapts when conditions demand it. The golden ratio becomes beautiful partly because it sits at a psychological crossroads, ordered enough to feel coherent, irregular enough to feel alive. We should be cautious here. The mind loves to retrofit cosmic meaning onto patterns, to turn coincidence into scripture. But we should not swing to cynicism either. Our hunger for pattern is not a defect. It is one of the ways consciousness touches the world. The danger is not seeing patterns. The danger is worshiping them. If symmetry is the dream of regular spacing, prime numbers are a lesson in stubborn irregularity. They are defined by a simple rule, and yet their distribution refuses to settle into the comforting rhythms we expect. They thin out overall, but they also surprise. They behave like a clean law that generates an untidy surface. This matters philosophically. It tells us that simple does not necessarily mean smooth. A rule can be elegant and still produce patterns that look wild. The universe can be lawful without being tidy. Order does not always look like symmetry. Sometimes order looks like complexity that never repeats exactly, but still holds, still endures, still obeys something deeper than our craving for neatness. There's also a psychological confession hiding beneath all this. We seek symmetry because we seek control. A symmetric world is a world that can be predicted. It is a world where the unseen side matches the seen side. It is a world where the outcome is implied by the structure. Symmetry offers us the feeling that nothing is hiding. Asymmetry threatens that. Asymmetry is where the surprise lives. It is where the exception enters. It is where the world reminds us that reality is not obligated to satisfy our aesthetic preferences. But asymmetry is also where freedom lives. If everything were perfectly symmetric, the future would be repetition. Choice would be a formality. Difference would be an error. But because the world bends, deviates, mutates, improvises, newness becomes possible. Creativity becomes possible. Evolution becomes possible. Love becomes possible too, because love is not an equation, it is a relationship, and relationships are always a little uneven, always alive with the friction of two distinct worlds meeting. In other words, symmetry is a kind of peace, but asymmetry is a kind of grace. So what should we do with this compulsion, this hunger for the balanced, the mirrored, the clean? We don't need to abandon symmetry. It is a powerful lens and often a reliable guide. Symmetry has taken us far in science and art and design because it captures something real. The world does have invariances. It does carry repeating structures. It does echo itself. But we do need to mature our aesthetic. We need to learn to love the world not only when it matches our ideal, but when it refuses it with dignity. To see symmetry as scaffolding, to see asymmetry not as failure, but as signature. To recognize that the most meaningful patterns are often the ones that hold a shape while allowing deviation inside it, like a melody that survives improvisation, like a belief that stays honest under stress, like a life that remains coherent without becoming rigid. Symmetry is not the opposite of chaos. It is one kind of order. And asymmetry is not the opposite of meaning. It is meaning's texture. The universe is not trying to be a perfect mirror. It is trying to be alive. And perhaps our deepest hope is not symmetry itself, but the suspicion that beneath the asymmetry, beneath the unevenness, the noise, the scars, there is still something that holds. A law, a rhythm, a coherence that does not erase difference but carries it, the way the pond still remains a pond, even when every ripple is interrupted.